Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence.
Hello.
As usual, you didn't turn on my microphone.
No, you didn't turn it off.
I have no control over it. You're over there with the equipment.
Are you sure you didn't turn it down over here?
No, I didn't turn it down.
Thought I had it up here. I think you're sabotaging things so you have something to complain about.
Your passive aggressiveness shows on.
Yeah, that's what it is. I'm
commiserating.
Yeah, commiserating with you.
Right.
Poor guy.
Actually, the operative part of that word is miserable.
Commiserable. You're co-miserable. You're as miserable as other people.
I'm as miserable as you plan to make me today.
All right, moving on. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Have a good day. See you tomorrow.
Sunbury Motor Company.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget them.
All right. Well, welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. We would invite you to contact us during the show. Our toll-free line now open, 1-800-795-9565. We've been talking about the president's remarks lately. He's basically saying that Iran plans to stand down, although there were some rockets fired yesterday near the U.S. Embassy, I believe in the Green Zone. Does that make sense to you?
They were short-range things fired by apparently some of the militias.
Individuals, but not the Army per se?
Not state-sponsored, apparently.
Gotcha. Okay. And so we can chit-chat about that. The president, very conciliatory note yesterday. So that's good news out of Washington, that we sort of have a stand down. And overseas stock markets were up overnight, and oil prices were down. So those are kind of good things that are happening. And let's see, what else is good? So let's only talk about good news today.
That's going to make it for a short program.
Oh, China, one of the economic leaders of China is coming over to sign this interim trade deal next week, so that's good. All right, so on to the bad news.
All right,
terrorists continue
now.
To kill middle-class America, and the 1% just got a little richer overnight.
No, I think there's some interesting stories out there today. The one from Western Pennsylvania that I heard you talk about, where lady claims that she is being withheld from her city treasurer's position because of racial issues, that's an interesting story. I'm particularly fond of the one by an employee who mocked his company's holiday gift on Twitter and got fired for it.
All right. Well, let's talk about that in a moment. Let me introduce the show. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Please, please, please do go to sunburymotors.com. There just isn't any need you could have for a vehicle. And they got loaner cars. If your vehicle's busted, they'll buy you a new one, or they'll sell you a new one.
They're going to start buying me cars. I'm going to hang out there more often.
And, they got towing service.
Will they buy me my Lincoln Navigator?
They will. Okay. You just have to say yes. You have trouble saying yes sometimes. But they're going to put Joe in his Lincoln Navigator. And this is a V8 powered, no hybridosity for him. He wants the real deal. Full size enclosed cab. He does not wish to have any sort of a pickup bed anymore. Your pickup truck days are over.
They were brief, but they're gone.
Brief but important. Every guy has to have one for a while. And so, where was I? Oh, yeah. Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236.
So this is a fascinating story. Call it a lesson in workplace etiquette and politics and the power of social media. A branch manager in Canada for the Minnesota-based company Fastenal was fired just before New Year's Day for violating the company policy when he lobbed a tweet criticizing the company's choice of a holiday gift of barbecue sauce and a wooden grill scraper, the CEO confirmed Monday. He said, "I'm not going to deny it. We did terminate an employee." He said that Fastenal's policy about acceptable standards of conduct is given to every employee and posted on the company website. The tweet, which tagged Fastenal, went viral after at least one news outlet reported it. When the employee's critical tweet was discovered, his supervisors reached out to Fastenal's Human Resources Department to ask what to do, and their recommendation was to terminate the guy. The CEO said, "I was very surprised by the whole thing." He learned of the firing Friday night after a Canadian article and the odd messages began appearing on the company's website. He called the HR department himself to find out what was going on, and after some Fastenal customers and web visitors began hurling insults online Friday and saying they would no longer buy construction supplies from the company, which has more than 2,200 locations. And the chairman said, "Calmer heads didn't prevail over this. Nobody reached out to me to say, 'Really? I'm getting fired over a tweet?' It's an incredibly unfortunate event." News of the firing has since gone viral and prompted a backlash on social media, including several website posts and phone messages that were deleted immediately because they were vulgar or threatening, the chairman said in a news interview on Monday. They're not going to back off. They say that, you know, having done this, it's done. But here's the tweet. Okay, this is the bottom line, I guess you could say. "The barbecue sauce and grill scraper sets Canadian workers received were worth $27 each, while U.S. workers received a different gift. The value of the package was the same. In the past, all workers received the same gift, but customs regulations changed, so operations in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico were given a budget, and each chose a gift sourced from the respective country." The employee, who could not be reached for comment for this story, tweeted, quote, "What kind of multi-billion company gives its Canadian employees barbecue sauce as a holiday gift? Yet the USA employees stuffed their face with an actual holiday gift box." So is that a fireable offense?
I don't think so, but a lot of companies are really touchy about that. So maybe there's something in his work rules or contract that says you can't say anything bad about the company.
Well, it's not exactly that. They did say what they say in their contract. Spokesman said many companies have adopted a similar policy. There are clear warnings in employee manuals about how workers should conduct themselves online and what consequences exist for violating or ignoring policies. Spokesman said the corporations are advised to adapt wording such as this, and this is the wording: "Before creating online content, consider some of the risks and rewards that are involved. Keep in mind that any of your conduct that adversely affects your job performance, the performance of fellow associates, or otherwise adversely affects members, customers, suppliers, and people who work on behalf of your company's legitimate business interests may result in disciplinary action up to and including termination."
Mm-hmm. Well, that's ridiculous. The company should develop some thicker skin, as you would say, this idea. Why not just put on their big boy pants?
If he said, you know, the CEO is a dog, the guy's a scumbag.
Or said he's a criminal
or a
thief.
Right.
Or
I could understand that.
Money.
But, let's face it, a gift of barbecue sauce and a grill scraper at Christmas time is not exactly what I would consider largesse.
I remember one time here somebody was mad. We have a gift exchange at times here, not all the time, but, and everybody bought gifts. I think your limit's $20, and booze changes hands a lot at this kind of thing. But somebody bought somebody else a sponge. It was like a fish-shaped sponge that had an eye hole in it, and you can hang it up, and it was more of a joke. It probably, cost whomever bought it a dollar or two. And they ranted on about the year that he got the gift of a sponge.
So, and he spent $20 on somebody else and got a dollar sponge in return.
That's exactly what he argued, that he bought them two bottles of Osti that probably cost him more than $2, but it was a tandem set of Osti, like one is dry and one was sweet, and they came together at Christmas. So, and he got a sponge.
I think I know who that might be.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. DM are his initials.
Okay.
All right. 1-800-795-9565. We're talking about bad Christmas gifts, but
no,
more importantly,
getting fired.
Getting fired because when you tweet about it, I think this is ridiculous and a rule that, this could have easily gone by the wayside and nobody cared, but of course, since they fired him, it went viral.
Right.
Because I think that's really unfair, but that's just me. even though it does, it sounds like pretty clearly violate a stated policy.
It does, but I mean, rather than, I would have rather had the $27 mm-hmm. than a bottle of sure. barbecue sauce and a grill scraper.
Well, see, now the wooden scrapers are important. If you have a Traeger grill or a smoker grill, that's what you need. You can't use metal ones, or you shouldn't use metal ones. It scratches the thing. So the wooden scraper is not as bad as it sounds. My lovely bride will tell you
that. I don't know
if
it was a wooden scraper. The story doesn't specify what type.
Oh,
it just
I think
says
it does.
A grill scraper.
I think it's a wooden one. Okay. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Stan, it is of no surprise to me that you know some information about this.
Oh, we do deal with Fastenal where I work, but anyways, and they overcharge for everything they sell. But
that's another topic.
Well, good thing you don't work for them, or you'd be on the chopping block, Stan.
That being said, you know, the guy being fired, yeah, that was kind of overboard, I think. But the other thing is, employees get stuff from their companies and they complain. I don't understand it. You know, the company didn't have to give them anything. They could have said, Merry Christmas, be on your way, have a nice holiday. You know, they gave him something.
Right. He doesn't understand.
I'm of the thinking, if you get something, be happy and carry on.
Right, but that relates to your personal attitude. You know, you should be grateful. There's no argument there.
They gave me a grill scraper and a bottle of barbecue sauce. Hallelujah, maybe this makes my holiday.
I worked like a dog.
Maybe it's some really good barbecue sauce. I don't know what they sell.
I think
but,
it is.
That being said, where I work, we've had award ceremonies from GM and stuff, and, you know, they give us a big meal. And then at the end of the meal, they give us $100.
Whoa.
We've had employees up in cash.
Wow.
We've had employees say, I ain't taking that money from the company.
Why not?
Why?
I don't understand that thinking.
Because it's not enough?
Well, I don't know what they're thinking. You know, $100 is $100. Better in my pocket than theirs.
Sure. Amen, brother.
I'm never going to turn down $100, but a $27 bottle of barbecue sauce and a grill scraper, I might tell them to forget it.
No, I'd take it and say, okay, thanks a lot, and grumble a little bit, but I wouldn't put it on Twitter and say, ooh, look at these fools. You know, it's just the attitude of people these days think they're owed something from the company they work for. They're owed one thing, a paycheck
okay.
for doing their job.
Well, Stan, I'll agree with you. The guy was ungrateful, you know, but on the other hand, I don't think what he said merited his being fired.
Well, I agree with you on that. I mean, I think that was probably a little overboard. You know, they maybe could have sat down and had a good talking with him and said, don't do this again, and if you do, well, then we'll have to terminate you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, usually you get two or three warnings on stuff like that.
Maybe
but,
that
was a little overboard.
Maybe he's a Twitter fool, you know. He's forever criticizing them on Twitter or something, you know.
Well, that's
who knows?
Possible, too.
Yeah, there's a picture of it on Facebook. It's Hickory Get Sauced. Hickory barbecue sauce. So it looks pretty normal. You can't tell. Maybe it's high-end.
So when are you going to be using, in Canada, with their cold winters and snow, when are you going to be using barbecue sauce and a grill scraper? No,
June
not until
August.
June through August. It'll be stale by then.
No, barbecue sauce don't get stale.
Well, you can use barbecue sauce indoors, too, to make things taste barbecue-y, even though they're made on a stove.
Okay.
So, or you could have a sun porch with a grill on it. I've seen people, you know, grill on their balcony when it's going to be 60 this weekend, so if you don't grill, you're not going to until spring.
All right. Well, I'll bear that in mind.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Stan.
Thanks,
right.
Stan. Take care.
A lot.
Appreciate the call. We've generated two calls with this stupid topic. Particular topic is what I was trying to say. Mike, you're on the mark.
Joe, isn't part of Canada above the Arctic Circle, so therefore in the summer the sun is up all day, and you could barbecue 24 hours in a row with daylight?
Well, I guess you could if you're inclined to stand outside in the permafrost.
Yeah, but not in the winter.
Hey, there's people living up there somewhere.
Yeah. Hey, I don't call that living.
Yeah, but in the winter, it's dark for 24 hours a day up north.
Is it?
Yeah, it's not light 24 hours a day up the north.
Well, they make grill lights. I've seen them for sale around here.
Anyway.
Hey, I just wanted to basically say that, you know, that guy, what did he do? He said something that... You know, in the normal spectrum of behavior, you know, 95% of the people or even more aren't going to make a tweet like that. But, you know, there's always a couple of people in the crowd that do things like that. And I think, you know, it put dispersions on his company, but I don't think it was, you know, he should have been fired for that. I think that. But then again, do we know the whole story? Maybe this guy was a problem employee. Maybe he had things that we don't know the whole story. And mm-hmm. that's the point I want to make. I'm calling it, media, mass media, social media mob behavior. You know, everybody's jumping on this. And do we know the facts?
Well, no.
He was a manager. He was not just a standard employee. He was managed one of their branches.
Right. So there's one caveat. I agree with Mike. I think there's got to be more to this. Termination for one infraction like that seems like pretty heavy-handed. He probably has other infractions.
Well, and they said that the human resources people believe that because he was a manager, he should have known better.
Well, sure, he has a higher standard, but still, termination. I mean, even then.
I'm thinking a lengthy time off without pay would, a week or something like that might get his attention on that. But I just wanted to quickly tie this in to something that's kind of burning in me, and I'm not trying to change the subject of your show here.
Go ahead.
I just want to point out about this, the mass media. You know, we're hearing about all these fires in Australia and everything that's happening down there, and the cause is global warming. Okay, that's what they're saying. And here's my take on that. I've been doing some research on tornadoes and the history of tornadoes, and I stumbled upon a thing that I wasn't aware of. In 1871, there was a forest fire in upper Wisconsin and part of Michigan that killed up to 2,500 people from a forest fire.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? And well over a million acres was burned. And it's like, I'm 65, and this is the first I've heard of that. And I like to look at this stuff. So these fires have been happening forever. And as far as Australia is concerned, this is what really gets me. These fires have become predominant since about 20 years ago. The temperatures haven't gone up that much in 20 years. So what has changed? And I'll tell you what's changed. 20 years ago, they passed rules in Australia to protect nature, to leave nature as it is, which prevented fire breaks from being put in the outback. It prevented clearing the underbrush because they wanted nature to be nature. Well, now we have nature being what it is, massive fires. And finally, the other thing I want to say is those laws were supported by people that lived on the coastal areas, the urban areas. They put their will on the outback. And as a result, the people in the outback, they didn't want those rules, but they got them, and now they're getting the major fires that are associated with not having fire breaks. So to me, there's a comparison between what we have here in the United States with the coastal elites trying to impose their will on the heartland of the country. So I just think we need to know more about the stories that we're hearing in the news, because I could make the case that global warming creates arsonists, because in Queensland alone, which is the largest state in Australia, there's been 100 arrests for arson. If global warming is causing these fires and we're getting arsonists out of it, maybe we should say global warming causes arsonists. Now, I'm being a little bit facetious here in that claim. But I just want to say there's always more to the news than most people are hearing in the headlines. And I want to caution your listeners to that, because I believe in that firmly.
Turn on the microphones. Now he's just shutting himself off.
We got you, Mike. Thank you so much.
But, Mike, it's an interesting question about, and the president's gotten into hot water with Governor Newsom in California because he suggested the same thing, that they aren't properly managing forests. And I would think, and Mark's an environmentalist, I would think environmentalists would want the forest managed to keep from, how many billions of animals they say they lost in Australia? Something like 9 billion, possibly, animals that were lost. So it would seem to me that managing these forests is a reasonable thing to do.
Well, we certainly are capable of mismanaging, and we certainly can't deny that man is impacting climate and the planet's getting warmer and that we are partially at fault for
that. We must accept all of this, you say?
No, I'm just stipulating things that we know to be true. But
you know that mismanaging
a forest can lead to bigger fires.
We've seen that in Western Pennsylvania. I have some questions.
Okay, right. The planet's not getting warmer. Oceans aren't getting higher for Joe, but for everybody else, we continue to enjoy that. Yeah, and as for the Australia thing, I have not heard what I would call a sort of a definitive expert say climate affected it. Now, I've heard a lot of people that are lay people, like me and you, say... climate is a factor. And certainly people in Australia say they never used to have droughts like this, and now they do. And so they attribute that to climate. But again,
there could be two elements here. First of all,
they could be incidental reports.
Well, yeah,
the
fires could have been started by global warming. But if there had been fire breaks and if there had been proper things taken, if they had cleaned out the brush, maybe they wouldn't have been as bad.
Why don't we just change our ways a little bit and not superheat the planet? Could that help?
But oh, yeah, maybe. What's the temperature going up a degree?
Mark,
it doesn't hardly superheat it.
The fires in California wouldn't be a problem if people weren't building million-dollar homes in the woods.
In the middle of the forest.
Sure. Could do what they normally do. Like in 1871, as I mentioned, up to 2,500 people were killed in upper Midwest. Now, did we have global warming in 1871 to be talking about? What
negative.
Caused that fire?
Negative on the 1871 warming.
Okay. Hey, you guys have a great day.
Hey, thank you so much
you
for
too.
Calling.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate your call
appreciate
as always.
That.
You're welcome.
Let's take a quickie break.
All right, we'll do that.
And we invite more comers. Speedy dialers now, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. I can't seem to find a definitive answer. There seems to be disagreement as to how much warmer the world is today than 100 years ago. So,
but you use the term superheated.
Well, see, you have to understand climate change isn't just the air temperature. It's also the water temperature is higher. The poles, the ice caps are getting smaller. Ocean levels are rising. Areas that used to be moist are sometimes seeing droughts, and areas that used to see more droughts are getting more moisture. So climate change is really affecting the whole planet in a wide range of ways. And in Australia, again, just lay people are saying that we've never had droughts that lasted for years in their memory, and they're only 50-some years old.
They have them in
old.
California. They've had them for years. Water from other places to bring into Los
Angeles.
That could
be normal then. They're saying that in that area they used to have some droughts, but they would be months long, and now they've had drought. Well, it hasn't rained in
But droughts are cyclical. There have been stories for years about droughts and then flooding
that.
And droughts and flooding and droughts and flooding.
So our planet's getting warmer. You don't even agree that that's a true statement, right?
Well, you said you were, 0.0
Well, between
of a degree
1 and 3 degrees over the
decade?
Past 100 years. Between 1 and 3 degrees over the past 100 years.
Okay.
It depends on which source you look at.
Imagine what the news would have been like at the end of the Ice Age when the caps that were down here started eroding? And tonight's news from the cave, the ice is going away. We're all going to die.
So as long as you stay in your cave, you're safe. Okay, Joe. I think that pretty much sums up Joe's reference to climate change. It's sad that we don't want to address this. It's great that we have a vibrant discussion underway, because I think eventually the truth will out on this as the planets get warmer and the droughts get longer and areas that used to be dry get
storms. Maybe I'll
storms.
Surprise you here. Even if I don't buy into the whole thing, I am willing to concede that man does have an impact on the environment. And to the extent that we say we want to try and rein in some of the more destructive things, I don't think that's a bad idea. But when you start throwing people out of work and you start decimating whole industries and you start doing things here in this country that other countries aren't doing. I saw a meme on Facebook the other day that showed, based on, what do you call it, carbon emissions,
CO2,
the rest of the world, and how North America was very mild by comparison to Africa and China and Russia. You know, so if we cut out everything in this country, if we sacrifice the whole thing, what good would it do when everybody else is going their own way?
So you think the U.S. should never try to set a good example? We should continue to be a bad example because there's other bad examples.
But we're not
elsewhere.
A bad example. They're the bad example. We're a good example now by what we've already done.
So you say,
why can't you look at it that way?
But you're saying it's pointless to be an even better example than we've been in the past.
What's the benefit of it? Other than if the example doesn't do anything, what's the point of being an example?
Well, eventually everybody's going to have to be on board. I mean, everybody has a coastline. Everybody has industries. Everybody has people. Everybody has farm crops.
But if they're willing to accept the consequences, if they're willing to accept the consequences of their actions, how do we, you know, you're always saying, well, we don't get into foreign war. Should we go to war with them? Shall we send our troops over there to enforce our environmental laws?
Wow, okay. Yeah, as long as you think, Small Joe, that will work for you. You'll be fine. If you ever decide that you are a citizen of the planet and not just Shamokin Dam, you will...
I am a citizen of the planet.
You'll rethink this.
But and seriously, people live on this planet.
Think
people
small, need to... and you'll be safe. Don't worry. And plus, you are so far from an ocean. Do you realize how much ice would have to melt till you would be flooded by the ocean?
Well, we have a river right at our doorstep.
Well, we're going to need a little... Well, that could go up quite a bit and still not hit you. So you will never be flooded by rising ocean tides. So please, do nothing, Joe. That's the way to go. All right. We're going to keep thinking small during our show, but we'll enjoy a vibrant discussion about it coming up. This is WDKOK Sun Mary.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Yes, you are behind.
Oh, share this.
Yeah, somebody sent us a note that says, Glacier National Park recently removed signs from over a decade ago stating that the glaciers would be gone by 2020.
And the assumption would be that it is 2020 and they're not gone. Okay,
right.
Super.
Hence, they removed the sign.
All right.
I think they were very optimistic to let the signs up in 2019 if the glaciers were still there.
All right. It says here, the world is getting warmer, whether the cause is human activity or natural. The preponderance of evidence says it's humans. Thermometer readings around the world have been rising steadily since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. According to ongoing temperature analysis conducted by scientists, the average global temperature on Earth has increased about 0.8 degrees Celsius or 1.4 degrees Fahrenheit since 1880. Now, why do you care about the 1.5 degree difference? Well, the global temperature record represents an average over the entire surface of the planet. Land temperatures are up much more. But the temperatures we experience locally and in short periods can fluctuate a great deal. But a one degree global change is significant because it takes a vast amount of heat to warm all of the ocean's atmosphere and land by that much. In the past, a 1 or 2 degree drop was all it took to plunge the Earth into...
Does this have an ending point?
The little ice age. Well, you asked, what difference does a degree make? Here you go. A 1 or 2 degree drop in the past was all it took to plunge the Earth into the little ice age. A 5 degree drop was enough to bury a large part of North America under a mass of ice 20,000 years ago.
In tonight's news, a massive ice storm predicted for 20,000 years from today.
Right. Oh, so... Laugh all you want to, buddy. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company.
I'm too busy thinking small to laugh.
Right. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Yeah, the merchants, they think big over there. Anything that could super serve a customer, they've thought of it and done it. And they'll do it again. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 702-236. That's our text connect number. Some brief news headlines. Two state troopers were injured by a knife-wielding man Tuesday night during a struggle to disarm him. State police were called to a home on Pepper Hills Drive in Cooper Township, Montour County, 6:30 p.m. Tuesday. And they got a report of a man throwing knives at his sister. When they arrived, they found 24-year-old Michael Hartzell holding a knife to his own throat. He had threatened suicide by cop. Police shot him with electronic shock devices. That did not work. And and as he was being taken into custody, two state troopers ended up with knife injuries on their arms, or one of their arms. Hartzell was arrested. Officers taken to the hospital for non-life-threatening injuries. Some local job-creating projects are going to get state help. The governor's office announced that three businesses in Northumberland and Snyder County have been approved for Pennsylvania Industrial Development Authority loans. The state says the loans help fund business expansion and job creation within the two counties. In the Milton area, Custom Container Solutions was approved for a $475,000 loan to provide for the purchase of machinery and equipment. A new company that will start up a professional driver's academy in Milton got a startup loan of $164,000 from PETA. In Snyder County, Almond Tree Senior Solutions approved for a $29,000 loan to assist in the startup of an adult services center. All of those hope to create about 60 jobs regionally. A Mifflinburg area resident discusses a new coalition, the Game Commission's effort on stopping chronic wasting disease and funding for CWD. Phil Wagner was on WKOK Sunrise Monday, talked about a new coalition called the North American CWD Project, directed by Dr. Frank Bastian.
The North American CWD Project here in Pennsylvania, and that's designed to advance the research of Dr. Bastian toward controlling chronic waste disease and other neurological diseases in animals and humans.
As for the Game Commission, he had mixed reviews. He says they are not currently researching the right aspect of chronic wasting disease, focusing on proteins that are the result of chronic wasting disease rather than the bacteria that causes chronic wasting disease. But as for their efforts to stop the spread, he said that can be effective.
Where there is a positive case, even one, they will establish a 3-mile radius circle around that area, and they will bring sharpshooters in an attempt to lower the population by killing a minimum of 350 deer.
The Unified Sportsmen of Pennsylvania has sufficient funding to get started, but not enough to continue. So they are hoping for contributions to help with their research. You can download the entire interview with Phil Wagner on the WKOK podcast page. And Mr. Joe always worries about the royals. So here's a big update. Britain's Prince Harry and his wife Meghan say they plan to step back as senior members of the royal family and work to become financially independent. A message from the couple issued Wednesday by Buckingham Palace said they intended to balance their time between the UK and North America while carving out a progressive new role with this institution. The palace issued a second statement later acknowledging Harry and Meghan's desire to take a different approach, but these are complicated issues that will take some time to work through. Harry's grandson of Queen Elizabeth II and
you know what the Queen is saying there, you ain't going nowhere, buddy.
Yeah, not so fast. And sixth in line to the throne. Before becoming the Duchess of Sussex, his wife was an American actress known as Meghan Markle.
Yes. A little weird over there.
So they want to be independent. So is this like a big mood swing split with the royals? Or?
Well, you know, were they going to give up everything they already have as a result of their association with the royal family? The palaces, the free airplane rides? You know?
I would think so. Well, they already don't do some of that, but they're hardly independently wealthy. I mean, they have a lot of money to rely on that's been given to them.
Right,
just
that's
outright
the point.
There's trusts and so on. So, up to be continued. But I know we're worried about this because we like to watch the royals. Is it time to get rid of royalty, do you think?
That's a good question. You've watched The Crown, as I have. It's a wonderful series on Netflix. And I think they serve as a part of the tradition and history of England, even though today they are somewhat anachronistic.
Well, they're a steadying force, they talk about on the TV show. You know, how this, it's that continuity that you need that they provide.
Well, in this country, though, we are built on the premise that everybody's equal. Mm. All men are created equal.
So the queen's not...
So what, would we bow to a queen?
Born to sovereignty.
If you were taken to meet her, would you bow? Would you walk in back out of her presence?
Well, yeah, if I was there, sure.
Why? She's well, not your queen.
That's the protocol. Well, if you can't follow their protocols, stay out of the country or stay out of her palace.
If their protocol requires me to treat her like she's something better than the rest of us, then I'm sorry. I'm not going to be accommodating.
I'm not sure that better than the rest of us. I think that she's more important than the rest of us.
How so? Well, she is head of state. I mean, she is the head of state. But the head of state in what country gets the kind of perks we give the royal family? And why does there have to be a royal family? It's not like the president's family here is considered special. I mean, they treat Barron and Mrs. Trump like dog meat.
Oh, they do not.
They do,
don't
too.
Even start. They're coddled. They have their own staff. They're well taken care of.
She has a much smaller staff than Mrs. Obama.
Oh, good for her. So she's saving a little money.
Okay.
Anything she wants, she gets.
But I just think royalty is an anachronism today, and
okay.
Maybe another day and time. But in England, they are so steeped in tradition that it would be awfully hard to get rid of it.
All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our open phone. We're talking about climate change. Joe, of course, is a climate change skeptic. He does not buy the information that we just read on the radio about the planet being 1.4 degrees warmer over the past...
Since the start of the Industrial Revolution, which
right,
was 1860. Well, it actually started in the 1860s. The Civil War
did
spurred the Industrial Revolution.
Did it?
Yes, it did.
All right. Thank you. Steve, thank you so much for calling in. We very much appreciate your input on this topic. Go right ahead.
Good morning. I'm not naive enough to say that man doesn't contribute something to the environment. Just look at China, India, and various other countries. However... Everybody's always saying man's influence. Look at Australia. You might say all of Australia is on fire. Look at the fires in Yellowstone years ago. Volcanic eruptions, even if they're stagnant now, they're still pumping material into the air. So really, how much is man contributing? When you look at every year, countries have fires and all that. I actually think that is a bigger contributor than what man's doing, except for maybe China and India and some other countries. And I predict that with the catastrophe in Australia and various California wildfires and all that, I really think that next year when we discuss this, everybody's going to say it rose again because of man. And I'm just saying that those Australian forest fires and the California fires is contributing so much into the air that I hate the term always man's causing it. Some of it is natural.
Well, don't you think that the planet has always had a balance and that we're exacerbating the warming aspect of what was a balance? I understand what you're saying, that wildfires are natural, and although they would tell you down there that the climate warmed up and so our droughts are longer and now things are more vulnerable to burn more. But in any event, the Earth had a balance before, and now it's out of balance because we continue to pump billions of pounds of extra carbon into the atmosphere. So I understand what you're saying. I know the Earth is its greatest polluter. People like to say that because of oil seeps and volcanoes and fires and so on. All of that is perfectly noteworthy, but the Earth was also about one-third covered with trees, and now it's about one-eighth of the world.
What would have happened?
Because the Earth had a balance.
Between 1865 and 1955 or 1960, the majority of homes and business plants and railroads ran on coal in this country, belching tons of carbon and stuff into the air. How come the temperature didn't rise more dramatically during those periods? We don't do that now. We don't have that much coal. You know, we don't have steam engines plying up and down the road.
We still rely heavily on fossil fuels. See, we're not burning as much coal in our homes, but globally we're still burning much coal as we ever have.
Not in the United States.
No, not
maybe
in
that's
the US,
one of the reasons why we show as being a big improvement over the rest of the world.
We're doing better. This debate is helping. And we're also to the point, and this would be good news for you, Steve, that my opinion on this no longer matters. And Joe's opinion doesn't matter, and Steve's opinion matters, but the people who are the deciders, in the U.S. anyway, are on board with this and are taking action, and companies are taking action, even though the president is a skeptic. You know, we talked about that. We're to the point now where the naysayers are immaterial, and the people like me who are just, you know, playing local advocates for this and doing what I can no longer matter. There's enough deciders and companies and countries that are getting on board, even though Joe does know of some that
so
aren't.
So the auto industry comes in and asks to be relieved from new standards, and they get approval. That's the deciders really making a difference.
Well, we're still better. We're still better off. You know, I granted now they would like a reduction in some of these restrictions, but they're still producing half the carbon emissions that they used to. They would like some change. But look, again, that's trivia. You can point out 100 asterisks in this discussion. None of it matters. The fact is, man globally is pumping out more carbon into the atmosphere than ever before. The atmosphere is responding. We are getting warmer. Oceans are getting higher. And some companies or some countries are on board and some are not. None of that really matters. The doers are working on solutions. The naysayers are dragging their feet.
And the glaciers at Glacier National Park will be gone by 2020.
Well, I guess that's not going to happen. Too late.
Can I say just
yeah, please, one more go right ahead. You got
now,
an open mic.
I know modern scientific, we go back 150, 200 years about the climate. But Earth, and I'm not a scientist, and I know a lot of people are going to call me an idiot, but the cycle of the Earth can go for thousands of years. When that asteroid that hit near Mexico and supposedly killed all the dinosaurs, all across the whole world, there's an inch or two black seam anywhere you go that caused the destruction. All I'm saying is, and I know we don't go back much farther than a couple hundred years, but geologists and scientists and all that, a lot of them know that these are thousands and thousands of year cycles. And I'm just saying, I agree we have something to do with it. I agree we can do something better. But every time they bring it up, it's what man's doing. And there's very few talk of the natural things contributing to this climate change. That doesn't mean we can't do better. But all I'm saying is, you know, it's always man. Very rarely do you hear anything about
right.
Volcanic, you know.
No, it's the cows. The cows are all emitting right. all these gases when they defecate.
I know when I go past a dairy farm, I know I have to take my coat off because I get...
It's so warm.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Let's
Steve.
Get rid of the cows.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much, Steve. I really appreciate the call. Keep listening. Keep calling. All right. 1-800-795-9565. We got one line lit up. We'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565. We do know that one dinosaur survived. He's my good co-host, but the others were wiped out eons ago. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
There is a reason the president's wife does not have as much staff as the president.
Says being arm candy to the president and wearing designer clothes does not require much of a staff. Be best, gentlemen, be best.
I like that phrase. That's the tough part about the whole thing. Lance, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in. Go right ahead.
Well, you know, 50 years ago, we were all worried about freezing to death. Remember that? Mother Earth News said about the natural warming cycle of the Earth has been interrupted. Many people, myself included, were into that up to our eyeballs. It was all caused, of course, by man pumping all this awful stuff into the atmosphere. And it was in, Time Magazine carried a article about it. And it's what I read every Earth Day.
When was the last time you heard a story, Lance, about that ozone layer, that big hole in the ozone layer that was going to give us all skin cancer? We're all going to die.
Yeah. But it would be bare reading for everybody, really. It says, as they review the bizarre and unpredictable weather pattern of the past several years, a growing number of scientists are beginning to suspect that many seemingly contradictory meteorological fluctuations are actually part of a global climatic upheaval. However widely the weather varies from place to place and time to time, when meteorologists take an average of temperatures around the globe, they find that the atmosphere has been growing gradually cooler for the past three decades. The trend shows no indication of reversing. Climatological Cassandras are becoming increasingly apprehensive for the weather aberrations they are studying may be the harbinger of another ice age.
And the date of this was?
This article? I'm going on
50
here.
Years ago.
Telltale signs are everywhere.
So, Lance, it's clear.
The thickness of pack ice and the waters around ice.
I think we get the drift, Lance.
Right, yeah, thank you. Okay. So, but your view is that...
The southward migration of warmth-loving creatures like armadillo from the Midwest since the 1940s, the median global temperature.
All right, we're going to have to stop you there. So suffice to say,
we can't wait for the whole article.
The whole climate change isn't happening. We're not getting warmer. Bottom line, correct?
Well, no, we are getting warmer. See, what happened here was this shows that we was interrupted. The natural warming cycle of the Earth was interrupted for 30 years. Now, why, I don't know, but it was.
Okay, so we are getting warmer. Is man impacting this warmth, or is this just a natural cycle?
Well, probably both, but it's mostly...
Excellent answer. Thank you.
If you take from well-documented, the warm period, the medieval warm period, from 930 to 1350... is well documented, especially in Europe. They had awful problems with droughts, of course, and people that from the south coming north. Here it happened here with our Native Americans.
Yes, and those armadillos headed south. So,
all right,
thank you.
Right. Yeah, thank you so much, Lance. Yep, excellent point. Appreciate it.
Right, and then another emailer says, Joe, back in the days, all kinds of locomotives, belching fumes, very few vehicles. Today, millions of vehicles on every road in every location of our country, apples and oranges, then and now. Not true. In the 50s, we burned...
Wait, stop.
In the 50s, we...
The sentence is, it says apples and oranges, then and now. Period.
Right.
Okay, now.
But I'm saying not
now.
True,
okay.
Because in the 50s, almost as many cars and trucks on the road, and they had none of the restraints that we put on today, no catalytic converters. We had trains belching smoke and fumes and plants. It used to be a sign of progress to go into a town and see smokestacks belching fumes.
All right, Dale, thank you for waiting while Joe did his little diatribe. You're on the mark.
Yeah, I like watching that stuff about the habitable zone and all like that. But they said that the Earth is on the very inside edge of the habitable zone. So maybe we're just a slow roasted marshmallow.
That's a good one.
That's a good one, Dale.
I don't believe in the sky is falling. They've been selling that for years. But if you notice, like every morning on a clear sky, there's like about 100 planes comes before the sun comes up, spraying this mist in the air. I think our country has enough money to, you know, protect our ultraviolet rays. But yeah, I just Mars is like on the inside of the habitable zone, so they probably are terraforming Mars. I believe they are. I mean, I guess it's the next step. I think that they said that 13,000 years ago, humans had to go underneath the ground because of the solar system's, you know, seasonal thing. They said the sun pulsing. Probably right now, we're probably going to be about to be cooked. But, you know, we should just enjoy it. I mean...
Enjoy it.
There was a great movie a few years ago and outlining the problems Mars has. The movie was called Mars Needs Women. You remember that one?
Yeah.
Doesn't have enough men.
You're right. Okay. Yeah, I just think that, you know, if you notice on a clear day, every morning about 6 in the morning, there's like about, I can see easily about 30 planes coming from the east sky spraying something just before the sun comes up. But, I mean,
that's fishy.
Answers about that.
That's fishy.
It's funny how it comes from the east, you know?
Who knows? Probably so you can't see.
I mean, that's another conspiracy in itself, but who knows? Maybe Australia can't afford to protect their country. They don't have the means, you know?
Yep.
We'll find out this summer when we're probably over 100 degrees, probably 10 times, probably.
No, I like the idea of thinking of us as a slow roasting marshmallow.
Yep, we're cooking. Thank you so much.
One degree every 150 years. We'll never roast that marshmallow.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. One of our good listeners sends us a note.
Says the scientists in Iceland study ice bores. They've determined the world's temperature has risen up to 1 degree in 55,000 years.
And 1.5 degrees in the past 100 years. So we're on the way up. Yeah, thank you for that. Appreciate that.
At this rate, we're still going to be freezing in another 100,000 years.
We're going up like a marshmallow. All right, we'll take more comers on the global topic.
But we really want to get into the fact that Lindsey Graham has now got a resolution to try and force Nancy Pelosi's hand to turn over the articles of impeachment.
What? Okay, we'll talk about that in a moment. It is an Open Phones Thursday. This is Joe's last week. He enjoys...
My last week? Am
I last
done?
Day. Okay. This is his last day of the week. He enjoys a retirement-shortened week and a retirement-lengthened weekend. So that starts tomorrow. Ben Reichle will be back tomorrow. We'll be enjoying a great discussion about climate change and impeachment. So join us. But in the meantime, we got a half an hour left on this segment, so call us immediately with a topic of your selection. We're about to talk about impeachment. Lindsey Graham has got a solution, and he's going to pull that trigger, so to speak, coming up. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. The off-mic conversations are far more enlightening and witty, but we can't put it on
not
the radio.
Not broadcastable.
Okay.
Anyway, here's Senator Lindsey Graham told Fox News in an interview yesterday that the Senate will take up President Trump's impeachment trial next week, shortly after he crafted a resolution that called on House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to deliver the articles of impeachment to the Senate. Graham, the Republican chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, told Sean Hannity that Pelosi's dam is about to crack and cited recent reports that show emerging fissures in her own party. Several Democratic senators have publicly called on the articles to be delivered. You said it was urgent, Graham said. If you believe it to be urgent, send it to the Senate for disposition. Senator Dianne Feinstein is one Democrat apparently growing impatient. She said the longer it goes, the less urgent it becomes. So if it's serious and urgent, send it over. If it isn't, don't send it over. Graham says he plans to introduce the resolution today. In it, he writes that Pelosi lacks the power to effectively veto a resolution passed by a duly elected majority of the House of Representatives by refusing to transmit such a resolution to the Senate. Graham argued that hanging on to the articles is a flagrant violation of the separation of powers expressly outlined in the bicameral impeachment process under the Constitution of the United States. He's spot on.
I agree.
And so is Dianne Feinstein. They sold us this. It's critical.
What's her big dilemma now, that she wants to control the Senate?
That Nancy Pelosi does. She wants to determine how the trial's going to go.
How is that even legal?
Assurances. Well, it isn't. I mean, it's not within their purview. Mm-hmm. It'd be like if the Senate. Can you imagine what she would have done if the Senate would try to tell her how to conduct the investigation?
I believe they mentioned it a couple times on Fox News, but she wasn't listening.
You can offer suggestions and think the process was fair or unfair, but for whatever it was, it's done. And she needs to submit what she has to the Senate, rather, for action.
Congressman Fred Keller tweeting today, the problem with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's impeachment farce is that it was never urgent. It was a politically motivated attempt to cancel 63 million votes. The end result was a deficient process that led to articles of impeachment based on speculation, innuendo, and feelings. not facts.
But be that as it may, I mean, it was done. Whether we like it, whether we don't like it, it was done. She has absolutely no legal right, in my opinion, to withhold it. I think that Graham is right. Her own body passed this, and she has the right to withhold it.
1-800-795-9565. If you agree with Joe that now was the time for her to release these articles of impeachment, or if you disagree, call us now. We have open lines. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. I would tend to agree with you since this was just politically motivated, but how did she say that it was super duper urgent? I know that you've said this a couple times.
Well, there was all that talk about, you know, they could have gone to court to compel the testimony, as the prosecutors did in Watergate. They went to court and got orders that the president had to release this stuff that he was, quote, stonewalling, unquote, and Nixon was stonewalling. But, you know, the president asserted executive privilege, and the Congress had the perfect right to go into the courts and say, the president says this is executive privilege. We don't believe it is. Tell us how we go from here. And the courts would have decided the issue. But it was so important. The American people, this is
proceed.
So critical, okay. So important. We can't wait for that. We need to do it now. And then she doesn't turn over the articles of impeachment? Come on.
Well, she's accomplished what she wanted to do. She wanted him to be impeached. She knows he's not going to be convicted. What difference does it make? What possible difference does it make? Quote a famous secretary.
They started this farce. Now they've got to let it play out.
Well,
in other words, they're stewing juices.
They're done. They did their part. They impeached him. They know, of course, the Republicans aren't going to conduct a fair trial. So what difference does it make?
And, of course, they conducted fair hearings in the House. They were just so fair.
Well, they were factual. You heard a lot of testimony that led to the impeachment. You may not agree with it.
It was all second and third hand. You know, I think this.
Well,
my speculation is that.
Trials are full of testimony from people who know or have spoken to people who know.
Where was the smoking gun?
The smoking gun would be the transcript that revealed that the president said that I need a favor.
He released it.
Not a transcript. He released a summary of the conversation.
And included that. I need a favor.
Right. He needs a favor. And as a result, you know, the whistleblower is right. We need to find out that there is a quid pro quo underway.
Okay, well, that's what a trial in the Senate would presumably do based on the evidence
provided.
Right,
and the trial in the Senate will be just as political and just as hyper-speed.
The evidence will be presented that the House collected. It would be unfair to make, and they can impeached him on the basis of this testimony they had, and if they're not content with their record, if their record isn't strong enough to sustain a vote of conviction of guilty, that's their problem. They didn't do their job. They were in such a rush because it was so critical.
Well, she figures this is the end of the line. What difference does it make? All right. Well, we talked about climate science earlier, which Joe, of course, is a skeptic, which is fine. That soon he will be immaterial in the climate discussion, and we'll take more comers on that topic. Now we're talking impeachment. So, what's your view on this? Lindsey Graham is ready to introduce a resolution that would force force the trial to begin in the Senate. Is that what it would do?
The trial would be conducted in the Senate.
Okay,
yes, the Supreme Court Justice, the Chief of the Supreme Court, or the Chief Justice, would serve as the judge, and the House would appoint managers who would, in fact, be the prosecutors.
Right, under normal circumstances. But what is Lindsey Graham going to make happen?
What he wants to have happen is the articles have to be sent over so the Senate can hold the trial.
Right.
The Senate can't hold a trial on nothing.
Right.
It needs the articles of impeachment to hold the trial.
Well, I read the articles in the paper. Can't they just get a newspaper and read them like everybody else?
I wondered what would happen if they did that. I honestly wondered, you know, all right, well, the articles.
We know what they are.
They were published. They didn't send them over officially. So what? We're going to act on them.
We'll hit print on our newspaper website, and we'll go from there. All right. Well, when we were talking back about climate, one of our listeners sends us a note. Joe,
is about Nancy Pelosi, and I'm sorry, not Nancy Pelosi, Michelle Obama. Says, as usual, Joe got in a slam against Michelle Obama having a larger staff than the current First Lady Melania. There is no comparison to what all Michelle Obama was involved with as per being out there in the public eye and all of the various charities and causes she spearheaded. What do we see Melania contributing or involved with other than looking stylish and walking down down the runway whenever making an appearance. Not to forget the many great speeches and comments made by our First Lady. I have one question. Does Melania have a voice? Does she speak? She supposedly speaks several languages. I'd like to hear one spoken. English! I guess a larger staff is crucial when you are involved in many projects and charities, as opposed to being overly involved in what you're wearing and whether or not your lipstick is on correctly. Now, that's the slam.
That is rude.
She does a lot of good. I mean, she has a lot of charities.
She did the BBest thing and the bullying thing.
She just doesn't stick her nose out there like Michelle Obama did in everything.
Oh, no, but she's sticking her nose in other things, and that's okay.
All right. And then... let's not forget the Green New Deal is a smokescreen for government control, regulations by the Dems.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then lastly, I'd like to tell the students listening to this program that Lance, Joe, and many other people are behind the times. Pretending science doesn't exist doesn't make science go away. The science changes through the years, and therefore we should follow every move. Sometimes scientists are right, sometimes they're wrong. When they're peer-reviewed, as they have been in the past few years, I would suggest that the scientists who think that climate change is happening, because we are helping it happen, are probably correct. New subject, I think Lindsey Graham just does not want to have witnesses because his God figure Trump will be done in, I hope. I hope Nancy is not overruled by this situation.
Hit delete.
Okay.
No, don't do it.
No, not for that.
Okay. Dan, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning. Well, this impeachment, this is just a smear campaign, another smear campaign against our great president. Now they have Iran, what he did over there, now they're using that for the new smear campaign because that works a little better right now than the impeachment. But she would like to hold that over his head into this election year so he might, they're hoping that he could lose the election. But the part of the truth of it is this smear campaign is backfiring against the people that want to see him out of office. We the people still have an important say in the good old USA.
Well, your president will endure this. He certainly won't be convicted in the Senate, and probably will get reelected. I don't see any Democrat unseating him. It'll be an interesting election year, but he'll probably win. Unfortunately, I say, but fortunately, says you. Joe's happy. He just wants his 401k to keep going up, so he'll be happy with that. One of our listeners corrects me, saying, actually, the president said, we need a favor. Not he needs a favor. We need a favor, meaning the United States as a whole. So thank you for that. Appreciate that, Mr. Texter. Go ahead, Dan. You may...
not backing down. I say President Trump is still the best president by far in my lifetime, next to Reagan in my lifetime. I know Truman was president too in my lifetime, but I was too young to remember much. But he's doing a great job on most everything. And the question is, even you, Mark, what would we gain by electing one of the Democrats? What would we gain? We'd lose a lot of the things we have right now. The economy would drop. We'd go back on the appeasement method of handling our enemies. It didn't work. We appeased them for a good many years through not just President Obama, but through President Bush. We're trying to buy them off. They hate us all the worse. So what would we gain? by voting in one
oh,
of
I
the,
think, George,
the Democrats.
George H.W. Bush called it a kinder, gentler nation would be one thing. More rational tweets would be another thing. I mean, I think, you know, you just have to look at all the issues and where you stand on them. Now, you stand with this president, and no change would be helpful. But the Democrats stand for a wide range of important issues that would be
But look at all the things that happen. Every time the president does something, the Democrats saying, disaster is looming ahead. World War III is about to start. He's got us into a situation now we'll never get out of. And then it doesn't happen. I mean, he runs rings around them, and they're left standing there babbling about the next horrible thing that's going to occur because of this unstable human being who happens to be our president.
And the most, and I agree with his own statement. He's a very stable genius.
He well, may let's not go
like
that far.
About him,
that's a good
but
one.
But he's a genius on running the America. He might not know Shakespeare. He may not eat at the finest restaurants, but if I could eat with him, we'd both agree. We'd be using plastic forks, plastic knives, plastic spoons, and we'd have a paper plate and probably a foam cup, and we'd all get along.
And you'd all be overweight.
Identify with me, and I can identify with him.
Dan, you'd all be overweight.
No, you, if you watch what you eat at any fast food, you won't gain weight.
I watch what I eat all the time. It still goes in my mouth and still adds to my waistline.
Well, you know, there's actually healthy food, even at Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, don't knock them. They're my favorite.
Yeah, and me and if I could eat with Trump, we would both eat at the same place, and I could afford to eat there, and I wouldn't have to figure out which spoon to use.
You know, maybe we should have a contest. Maybe write to the president and see if we could award lunch with Trump here on the program.
Wouldn't that be great? I'm sure Tom would be the first guy that would like to eat with the president.
I'm sure. I think he'd probably like to eat the president.
Well, but I think if you spoke to him directly, you might be able to change President Trump's mind on some of these important topics.
You think?
Well,
Trump listens to everybody, and then he makes up his decision from the vast opinions he receives from even people that disagree.
Well, I don't. Come on, Dan. He just acts on his whims.
You lost me when you called him a stable genius.
Joe, as far as running the country, there's never been a president, like I say, in my lifetime, even better than Reagan. You have to stand up quick, Joe.
I already did. I've been still standing from the first time you mentioned his name.
He had the right idea, President Reagan, but it didn't hold out if he had the Vice President Bush, who took us back into the age of appeasement again, the world order, the new world order,
so
and
George,
them kind of things, and he lost out there, and now we were back to the same old.
So George H.W. Bush was an appeaser?
Yes,
so that big Gulf War we saw, what was that all about? I mean, there were thousands of U.S. deaths over his whole term.
He was a war hawk yet. He was a hawk. And
right, okay,
President
and an appeaser.
Trump is
both.
Not a war hawk.
I think so, too.
He's a dove.
We got to move on. Thank you so much, Dan.
Yep, you guys have
He's a
great one. Good talking with you.
Appreciate that. Yeah, thank you.
What was that big
coalition, what was that, 1991, the big coalition, the first Gulf War?
First Gulf War, yes, with General Schwarzenegger.
There was no appeasement at that time.
I would not call him an appeaser.
We'll take a quickie break. We're going to have speedy opportunities for dialers, texters, and emailers. Call us immediately with your view on impeachment, plus there's some residual feelings about climate change out there. You can let us know about that. Or Melania Trump seems
or
to have
Lindsey Graham's
up.
Proposal.
Right. More importantly, that's all Joe wants to talk about. He's in the right on this. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Tomorrow is Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce Financial Friday. So Bob Garrett will be here and Sue Green. We're going to have a special guest talking about...
Can't be. Bob's supposed to be at Transportation Committee.
Well, this is at 8:30. He'll leave a little early. How about that?
It'll be very early.
Well, okay, so...
Not acceptable.
I'm sure that you're not going to cover that much critical material tomorrow.
Well, he's on the agenda.
Well, at the beginning, right, but then
at the end.
He's coming up here afterward. Well, we can hold the show a little bit until he gets here.
Okay.
Hey, On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. It's a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. If you know who Austin Martin is, then you already know that I'm going to pitch you on the idea of owning the next Kia, because these super efficient, highly rated Consumer Reports just loves the heck out of them. Or Ernie down there, they would just love to put you in a Kia that would be give you high gasoline mileage. These vehicles last forever. Or you can go see Mike DeFeo over at the Sunbury Motor Company on 4th Street in Sunbury. He's the one that's going to put me in my Ford Ranger. Jeff Clock and Mickey Anselmo. Mickey's like the F-150 whisperer over there. And Jason Benfer, that's your Navigator connection. So when you're ready to outfit yourself with that fantastic SUV, Jason is the man, and he will help you out. And we would just love to talk with you at greater detail at the soonest possible opportunity at the Sunbury Motor Company with these individuals, and they would just love to super serve you in a way that only they know how to do. So please, check them out at sunburymotors.com. Go see Jason, Mickey, Jeff, Mike, Ernie, or Austin, and they will super serve you. 1-800-795-9565. We'll have time for a speedy dialer. Lance, you get 60 seconds of notoriety. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, anyway, back on June 24, 74 was when that blurb was that I read. And the fact that it's the same scientific community back then as it is now that was telling us we were going to freeze to death and now say we're going to turn ourselves on a rotisserie, and that the temperature had dropped in 30 years a mean of 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit in that 30-year period. So that now when they say that, why, it's warmed up more now than it ever has, they're correct. Simply because it was down from the mean temperature back in the 70s.
So the climate's not getting warmer, man's not doing it, and we don't have to take any action. Anything else?
60.
Well, I don't see there's anything we can
time's
do to
up.
Reverse it.
Okay. Right. We got you, Lance. Thank you so much. We do appreciate you reading the end of the article and the good conclusive remarks. Appreciate that.
So what do you think is going to happen with the Lindsey Graham's?
Well, I hope it passes. We might as well expedite. You know, I will hit print on dailyitem.com, print out the articles of impeachment, send it to him so he'll have a copy. He'll say we didn't get them from Nancy Pelosi, but Mark was kind enough to send his copy, so we have them. And then they can acquit him because it's just political anyway.
Well, I think you're in a bad place when you say how critical it is, how important it is we stop this man.
Enough.
Come on, get with it. Yeah, right. The world's burning. We're all going to go to hell in a handbasket. And it's going to, temperature's
going
up.
We're not allowed to say that you're suspended for 3 days.
You're allowed to use that word.
With
it's on
pay.
TV all the time.
Thank you, Joe, for coming in. Enjoy your retirement lengthened weekend. This is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.